Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning is our gospel reading, except from a different location. We're going to talk about the same transfiguration account, but we're going to use the version that happens in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 9, because the context matters. But before we get there, I want to tell you a little about my week. Some of you are going to tune out already. Knowing that I went to Phoenix in February, you're going to say, I don't even want to hear it. But let me remind you that it was mid-70s here just a couple short days ago, and it was actually warmer here than it was in Phoenix on Friday. So you have that to your favor. Now, as we think about my week, and as I look back on the things that happened, I want to tell you a little bit about something that happened on Wednesday morning. On Wednesday morning, long before the sun came up, I was awake because my mind was still on Eastern time and I was in Mountain time. I normally get up at 5. It was 3. And I was awake. And I got up and I walked around outside through a prayer garden they had, and it was dark, and I used the light of my cell phone to shine the way so I didn't stumble into a cactus, because yes, they have them there. And I prayed as I walked through, and some friends of mine were going to meet me at 5:45 to go make our journey to the top of Camelback Mountain. So at about 5:45, they started to stumble out of their rooms, and I was ready. So we got ourselves together, and we loaded into the car and drove around the block and made our way to the base of Camelback Mountain. We got out of our cars, and we started to journey up the mountain. And as we started to walk up the mountain, we waited till we could see the light start to come up. We were hoping to make it to the top before sunrise. So the further toward the top we went, the more light began to shine as the sun began to peek up over the horizon, and we reached the top. I have pictures to prove it. And as I look off into the distance, off to the east, I begin to see the sun in all of its brilliance come over the horizon, and it shines. It shines brighter than I've really seen the sun shine in a very long time. And when we stood at top this mountain, and we thought, it's good to be here. It's good to be here because we made it to the top and there's no more climbing. It's good to be here because the sun is rising. It's good to be here because at the top it was much cooler and we were a little warm from the climb. It's good to be here. We stood together in a circle talking about what the day would have before us. We were going to talk about starting new things to reach new people. We were going to talk a little bit about church planting. We were going to talk about how to make an impact in the world for the sake of the gospel. And then we were all going to go out four-wheel riding in the afternoon. We talked about that. And then one of us remembered that none of us had had breakfast yet. We wanted to stay atop the mountain. We wanted to stand atop this mountain. We wanted to soak in the sun and feel the cool breeze around us. We wanted to stay there because it was good to be there. But we couldn't stay because breakfast beckoned. Our bellies called loudly. We knew we had to get back down the mountain. We were hungry, and some of my brothers hadn't woken up as early as I did, therefore they didn't have a time to shower, and well, let's just say they didn't quite smell like roses when they got to the top of that mountain. So we made our way back down the mountain. We bumbled down the rocks and made our way through the paths and down to the car and back to the retreat center where we all had breakfast. It was good to go. It was good to see. But we had to go home again. It was good to be there. It was great to be in that moment. But we couldn't stay there. The one thing that's really interesting to me about this section of Scripture from Luke chapter 9 is what happens right before the transfiguration. What happens right before the transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, is the account of Jesus sending out his disciples. He sends the 12 out into the world with a mission. He sends them with his power and his authority, and he sends them to go and see his power present in them. He wants them to go and see what he can do through them. So he sends them into the world, and he gives them power over demons and power to heal, and he gives them the power to proclaim his message in the world. He invites them to go and see. They go. They see. They realize that even though they have gone and seen, they're still not quite filled to the fullest, and so they return. They return to be recharged. They return to soak up a little bit more of the sun. The next thing that happens in Luke chapter 9 is Herod is confused. He's perplexed. He wonders who this Jesus character is. He begins to ask questions. Jesus asks his followers the same question. Who am I? Who do you say that I am? His followers, they all get it wrong. They don't even understand. They don't understand who it is that's standing right in front of them. Even though they have gone and even though they have seen, they've missed what was right before them. And then Jesus, a very familiar story in the New Testament, Jesus stands teaching in the wilderness, in the countryside, as he's just outside the city. The people have gone and seen how great God is. They have gone and seen the wonders of Jesus, and they're listening to every word that falls from his mouth. And the disciples, they ask a question. Jesus, these people are hungry. Send them away to get food. Jesus says, you give them something. We haven't a thing to give them. And Jesus tells them, go and see. He invites them to go and see how he provides for them. He invited them first to go and see his power present in them, and then he invites them to go and see how he will provide for them. Go and see. You know what happened when they went and saw? They found that God already put everything there they needed to feed the people. Everything they needed to feed the 5,000 men plus the women and children, everything they needed to feed those people was already there. Go and see, Jesus said. His command, go and see, yielded 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when they brought back the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looks, and you can almost hear him say, more than enough. Because with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he fed all those people, and then he had 12 baskets full left over. Go and see. Great things happen when we go and when we see. And then Jesus takes his followers up to the top of the mountain, Peter and James and John, and he calls them up to go and see. Go and see who I really am. Go and see who the Father has called me to be and what the Father has called me to do. Go and see. And as they're atop that mountain, you can almost look back into the Old Testament. You can almost look back at the account of Moses as he climbs the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. Moses, go and see. Atop the mountain, God reveals who he is, his plan, his power, his wonders. Go and see. Or you can imagine, you can see Elijah, go and see, as God reveals himself in a mountain. Go and see. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, they climb to the top of the mountain, and they go, and they see how God could change them. initially, it's good, Lord, to be here. Initially, all they wanted to do was just kind of camp out up front. All they wanted to do was just kind of hang out on top of that mountain, soak up the brightness of the Son of God, soak up all the wonders that Jesus would give to them, just be in his presence. But they couldn't stay there. It's good, Lord, to be here. But we cannot stay. Now, I would have, if I had one, I would have put up a tent atop that mountain and I would have stayed there for longer because it was gorgeous. It was one of the most amazing sights I've ever seen. And I've been to mountains before. It was beautiful, the sun, the clear sky. It was wonderful. It was good, Lord, to be here. But we can't stay on the mountain. God calls us down the mountain. So that after we go and see, we show and tell. We focus so much on show and tell that we forget to go and see. Before you show and tell, you first must go and see. But after you go and see, you must show and tell. Jesus took the disciples to the top of the mountain. They're standing atop the mountain. They see Jesus transfigured. His face glows like the sun. They see Moses and Elijah. They want to just hang out. They go and they see, but they have to come down so they can show and they can tell. They have to come down so that they can reveal what they have seen to the world. They have to come down because going and seeing is important. But it's only changing, it's only life-changing if we show and tell what we have gone and seen. Now, you and I, we go and see. Some of us, when we were young, when we were just children, we were taken to a place where we could go and see in the waters of baptism the promise that God has for us. Go and see. The life-cleansing flood that God has in store for you. Go and see. For some of us, that moment didn't mean a whole lot until later in life when we could claim it as our own in our confirmation. When we could confirm the things for ourselves that someone spoke over us, in that moment, we go and see. We go and see the promise of God, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His love, His light present in the world. Go and see. We go and see as we gather together around God's Word. We go and we see as we open up the living words of Scripture and allow them to come alive in our lives. We go and we see. As we gather together as a body of Christ in worship, we go and we see. As we come before the throne of God, the very altar of God, and we take part in His body and His blood in the sacrament of communion, we go and we see. But you can't stay here. Very rarely do we try to tell people to get out of the church. Doesn't usually happen very often. But today I'm telling you, you have to get out. You can't stay in the building. You have to show and tell. You can't just go and see. Because going and seeing is only the beginning. After you go and see, you must show and tell. Go and see the wonders that God has in store for you. Go and see every day as you open the Word of God and you read His promise to you. Go and see as you bring someone alongside of you and you walk with them through a deeper understanding of Scripture. Go and see as you dive into the Scriptures. Go and see as you remember your baptism, as you partake in communion. Go and see as you gather in worship and as you sing songs of praise. But then it's time to show and tell. After you go and see, it's time to show and tell. When Peter, James, John, and Jesus came down from the mountain, they had gone and they had seen. And then they began to show and tell. This week, you're going to be in places where you're going to be compelled to show and tell. You're going to be in places where you live, work, and play. You're going to be in places where everything that you have gone to see will have new meaning as you show and tell. soak up the light of the sun, just as Peter, James, and John did at the top of that mountain. Soak in everything that he gives you as he opens up his truth to you and his word. Soak it up as you go and see. But then, into the world in which you live, you show and you tell. You show and you tell the life-changing difference that Jesus has made in you. You show and you tell when you go to school and you see people that you love and that you don't. You go, you show and you tell when you go to work and you have that boss that you just admire beyond all belief, or that boss that just gets on your last nerves. You go so that you can show and tell. You show and you tell the wonders that God has shown to you. How while you were still far off, while you were still sinful, Christ died for you. This week, when you go in for surgery or for that test or for that procedure, you show and you tell as you trust the almighty hand of God to guard, protect, guide, and deliver you. You have gone and you have seen. You have stood upon the mountain of the Lord. You have encountered his presence through his very word. In a moment, we will encounter that same presence through the body and blood of communion. And then we show and tell. We go into the world in which we live, the places where we live, work, and play, and we show and we tell. We show the mercy of God to the people who don't deserve it. We demonstrate God's grace to the people we would rather not be gracious toward. And we lavish upon them the love and forgiveness that Christ first showed to us. And then we tell. We tell with our mouths the wonderful things that God has done. We tell with our hands as we serve one another in the name of Christ. We tell with our feet as we walk into new places, into new arenas in life. We go and see that we might show and tell. We're beginning a new season starting this Wednesday in the church. A new season that we call Lent. Starting on Ash Wednesday, we begin this new season of being poured into by the light of Christ. And I'm going to encourage you this next 40 days to go and see. Find a new opportunity for which you can enter into a deeper relationship with Christ, but don't do it alone. When Jesus sent his disciples out at the beginning of Luke chapter 9, he sent them out in pairs. He sent them out so that the two could walk together. He sent them out walking side by side so they could encourage one another. Find another place where you can go and see. Find someone with whom you can walk through the scriptures. Maybe it's in a Bible study. Maybe you join us for Bible and Brew every other Sunday night. Maybe you join the ladies in a couple Saturdays as they gather together for the second Saturday Bible study. Maybe you're going to be a part of one of the youth small groups that gather kind of around all over the place. Maybe you're going to just find a person with whom you can interact over the scriptures. Go and see. There's countless other ways that you can connect with God's word here as part of Living Words ministry, but go and see that you might show and tell. Because you can only tell what you have first heard. My prayer for you today is that you go and see that God is good, that God is great, that on this mountain everything is right. And take what is good and right and proper in this world into the places where you live, work, and play, that you might shine his light into those dark corners of this life. Go and see that you might show and tell.